Hello, I'm Tom Weber. This hour on NPR News, we're continuing a series of conversations we're having here at the beginning of 2016 on what to expect in Minnesota this year. We're going to look at energy this year, renewable energy specifically, and what effect the recent Paris climate talks might have on renewable energy efforts here in Minnesota. To get us started, I'm joined by Will Steger, who's well known for his expeditions to the North Pole and Antarctica, but in recent years he's worked a lot through his foundation on educating people about climate change. It's his cause celeb guy, I guess. Will, nice to see you.
Good to be back, Tom.
I'm glad you're here. You were watching Paris closely, I know, and you had some staff from your foundation there. You didn't go, but what do you think is going to come from what happened in Paris?
Well, I think finally, after 20 years, we bridged the equity piece. That was kind of the showstopper of the last number of years in the negotiations. But what we've seen is it was an agreement with 187 nations to be transparent. It's not binding yet, but it's a market. It's basically a market signal that the renewables and this new low-carbon energy is on its way.
The equity point, just to clarify, that has to do with rich nations, poor nations, and how you pay for some of the efforts that have to be
made. How do we compensate the developing nations that now rely on energy? And in that direction, hopefully they'll be relying on renewable energy, clean energy.
It's not binding. Do you really think this has any legs if it's not binding?
I think it has legs. And what's really, I believe, is going to bring them back to the table. We have 5 years to come back. But as the climate catastrophe unfolds with the weather extremes, I think that's going to really sober everybody up. But I think it's on its way.
Do you think it's too late to have a real effect on what's already happened?
Well,
here,
it's not too late to avoid the worst catastrophe. And with Paris, they were working towards a less than 2 degree rise in temperature. If we can keep it below 2.5 degrees would be worthwhile. But we're going to have to adapt it. Already we're seeing a record year in 2015 for warmth.
Yeah.
It's definitely not too late to avoid the worst of the catastrophe.
Your group works with schools and students a lot. You're talking about climate change and the effect. I'm wondering if the curriculum has changed. And what I mean by that is, are you talking anymore when you're trying to educate people about preventing climate change? And have you started that shift into really the adaptation? It's already here, and we've already done this. We have to adapt now.
Well, the shift in curriculum has already started with clean energy and climate. And adaptation is now part of that curriculum because, we're going to have to adapt to it. And what does that look like in the future? We have new science standards that include climate change and energy now. That's starting now in 2016. Mm-hmm. So that's a major step. That's
here in Minnesota, you're talking
Minnesota.
About.
Yeah. It's actually U.S. standards.
Oh, it is.
And that's starting with – that's been in the pipeline for about 5 years, but it comes on board here in 2016. So 2016, I think, is going to be a real year of action that we're going to see across the board in education, renewables. The economy, I think, is going to start really growing now with solar industry online.
So say more about that. You say it's – you talk about 20 years of waiting, right? You've been talking about this, and you're thinking 2016 is a year of action. Why? What's the action, and why are you finally able to say that, I guess?
Well, there's a great thing happened. We got a federal tax credit on renewables for 5 years, which was major, because we would normally get that for 2 years, and it would be cut. But 5 years, you can take that to the bank, so there's financing right now. And that's going to really jumpstart the economy. And what's great about that federal that was just voted right before Christmas is
the budget there.
The budget deal, right. Yeah. We had the Republicans and the Democrats both on board on this, which is very important. So we're going to see that's a market signal. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see the economy of this going up.
You you've done all these expeditions and far off places, North Pole and Antarctica. Last year was the 25th anniversary of a big expedition you did to Antarctica, and it's always interesting to hear you tell those stories because you tell the stories as if you were to try those trips today. So many of those trips you did back in the 80s and 90s, flat out could not do.
Could not do the North Pole, for example. I don't think there'll ever be an expedition leaving land to go to the North Pole because the Arctic Ocean is open. 60% of that's open now in the summer. The ice shelves that I've traveled on, all ice shelves in Antarctica and North America, have collapsed. So all the routes, basically every route I did, is you couldn't do the same version. And some of them you couldn't even do at all, especially in the northern areas.
So instead of dog sleds, you'd need boats.
Boats. I think you're going to see a sailing expedition to the North Pole probably within, within the decade, probably within 5 years.
And you'll celebrate that or not?
Not really. I don't think that's a celebration. Not sure if I'll be on that one. But no, that's a real tipping point. They have the Arctic Ocean open, a darker surface now. With the 24-hour light for 5 months, absorbing energy, that's the tipping point. And that's very major. That's a major change in our climate and everything we know it on the planet.
Will Steger is with me here this morning, well-known here in Minnesota and throughout the world, actually, for his expeditions to the North Pole and Antarctica. He has land up in Ely. You were telling me you've had this patch of land since the 60s. You were a smart buyer back in the 60s to get some lakefront property back then.
I was I was destined to move to the wilderness all my life. I wanted to do that. And I traveled in the Arctic about 10,000 miles kayaking, and that's what inspired me. But I bought land 3 miles from the nearest road and two lakes in, right near the Boundary Waters. And I moved up there in 1970 when I was 25, made my home there. But there I've been, in the last 30 years, been building the Steger Wilderness Center, which I've been pretty quiet about until just recently. And my goal there is in leadership of, I felt that if I could reach the decision makers, policy makers in making breakthrough thinking, like today, a lot of the new innovations, a lot of it's new and a lot of it's breakthrough. And this is the place where you go. Sort of like a miniature wilderness Camp David, where you come and unplug and get down to tax and get down to solving the problems.
People might think about retreat centers, right? I mean, this is an element of that, but there's...
Yeah, it's a working retreat. It is a retreat in a way, because it's a total wilderness there. And the architecture is wonderful. And with small group dynamics, as I've worked in small groups my life, 7 and 8, and I always felt that was the best numbers. And I felt that my legacy, my life, I thought I could affect a larger population by working on the leadership and the climate generation. We work with the general public and education. So between these two nonprofits, I reach from the bottom to the top.
All the power generated on site and the like. You don't have electricity to the site, but you do have a road. I know that was a hard decision for you.
That was a big decision. Yeah, we never had a power line, of course, but the whole, we launched our 10K solar installation here in October, so everything's off-grid. About 97% of our power will be renewables.
And this is the year that groups start coming in formally, right, as I understand it?
Yeah, we're going to do our first pilot in September, and to define the programs, I feel we need to do a few pilots. We'll do a couple, one this year and probably a couple next year, and then within 2 years then we'll be up and running.
But it's a place to go specifically in small groups to talk about specifically climate change.
Climate change and other innovations that we're going to need here to adjust to what's going. I mean, I should add there's a huge opportunity here in the environment and especially in the economy. So our whole economy is going to change over the infrastructure, and it's going to be great employment, I think, here for the state of Minnesota.
And there's one other note here before I let you go. You do this trip through the Boundary Waters, I think, every spring as the ice comes out. But I'm curious. I mean, it seems like you're trying to make it as challenging of a trip through the Boundary Waters as you
only
can.
Only if there's ice.
But how has that trip itself changed? How has the Boundary Waters changed on these trips in the last few years with climate change?
Yeah, the spring thaw has been variable, anywhere from March to May. We had record cold 2 years ago, record warm 4 years ago. So it varies from year to year greatly. And right now the streams and creeks are still open up in Ely. But hopefully it'll freeze up here in January. But what I'm seeing is huge variations. Normally, spring was always a kind of variable, but anywhere from a breakup from March to May is pretty incredible within a three-year period.
So you don't know when to plan your trip yet?
No, I'm leaving actually March 5th. I'm going to leave north of Ely, about 400 miles, to try to catch some cold weather. And then I'll work my way back home to Ely from there.
So at this point, you're at the point where you can't wait for a specific date on the ice to be out. You just have to start it.
I'm just going to start and do it. And I was hoping to leave early by March 5th to catch the cold weather. We had this warm winter so far, but right. Who knows what's going to happen here.
Will Steger, always interesting to talk to you. I appreciate your time, and thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tom.